As I mentioned just briefly before, the balance of wise effort that this practice calls forth is that of relaxed attention, but also perseverance. And this steadiness of awareness is what leads to this, the conditions. It's a condition, the steady non-judging awareness is a condition for the stability of mind, often called concentration. In fact, mindfulness with wise attitude brings along other wholesome qualities. So we're not only just being aware of the kalesa, which there's plenty of, you know, noticing that, but also awareness notices when there's no kalesa, when there's wholesome. So just to mention briefly before I go to samadhi, the five spiritual faculties, which are often spoken of as acting together in a moment of what I'm calling balanced awareness, just to briefly mention them, many of you know. The first one being often translated as faith, but in this sense of a practice, it's having a sense of confidence just in what you're doing. Not in me, I'm so great, or you're so great, or anything, but just the confidence, as Sayadaw Upandita would describe it, that gives one the willingness to do. You know, if you think this is just a bunch of crap, you're not going to do it, you know. So we're talking that level of confidence or faith, the willingness to do. And that willingness to do is what translates into wise effort or virya. Just the, as again, the wise effort is just that willingness to relax into the present moment again and again and again. The relaxed presence and the perseverance. And that allows for the awareness. You know, if we're not relaxing into the present moment, if we're pushing and pulling, there's no awareness, you know, isn't quite possible. We're all caught up. So that awareness, those are supporting awareness. And of course, without the confidence, we wouldn't keep remembering awareness. We go, oh, what the heck? It doesn't matter. Then the steady awareness is the condition, one of the conditions that supports the arising of the fourth faculty is called samadhi, which is often translated as concentration and is often thought of as kind of one-pointed focusing, very, very steady mind. Well, that's one aspect, not the only. Samadhi could be better translated as collectedness of mind or stability of mind. And I want to talk a little about that in a minute in regards to this form of awareness practice. But so the mindfulness, the stability of mind together are conditions that allow for clear seeing, accurate recognition of what's going on. And with that, that's how wisdom arises. Oh, this is when clinging is in the mind. It acts like this, and this is what happens, and it brings suffering. Oh, the wisdom just arises naturally. Wisdom isn't, I mean, there is wisdom of information. I'm giving you information. You're taking it in. That's a sort of wisdom. But the wisdom, the panya of insight, the third level of wisdom, the kind of transformative insight wisdom, isn't from information. The information may help keep us doing the practice. But the sense of understanding that, that's how craving works. It doesn't mean we won't forget and get all caught in it again, right? But you go, oh, I've heard that a million times, but now I see what it means. Somebody last night, Paula, I don't know if she's still here. She was here earlier. Said, oh, I'd always heard that, but suddenly I saw what it meant. That's a moment of wisdom. It arises naturally, cause and effect. This is what's so beautiful about learning to trust the Dhamma, the truth of how things are. How things are, how craving does its work, that's part of the Dhamma. When clear seeing, steady mind, sees how craving works without reactivity, without taking it personally, then wisdom arises of, oh, it's not really doing what I thought it was. this isn't really the way to happiness. For example, the mind just for a moment might put down that wanting. For a moment, that wanting. But that moment is an important moment. It comes up again, God knows, 10 million times. If we think once and done, well, we know we're all no better than that. So what has been so inspiring to me lately, I think Utejaniya emphasized this more than other teachers I've heard, the naturalness of wisdom arising given the conditions of the five faculties and our steady, non-judging mindfulness. It's not something we have to go out and get and create. Because all, if we're trying to get it and create it, good chance, extremely, extremely good chance, the motivation is some kind of wanting, some kind of comparing to some idea we have. And it's some cockamamie idea. Because if we haven't really experienced the freedom, but we have an idea what it means, it's cockamamie. We don't know. Once you know, there's no need for an idea about it anymore. So that is something that has been a huge relief in terms of helping to release some of the striving. Striving isn't what keeps the persevering of mindfulness going. Striving is just wanting a result. Trust, confidence, wisdom is what helps us keep coming back to persevering, to persevering. But persevering means only this moment. It doesn't mean now this moment and I'm going to be mindful from now until she stops talking. I'm not going to have one moment without mindfulness. Nah, that's some idea. It's like now. Are you aware of hearing? Are you aware of seeing? Are you aware of writing? Are you aware that you're wondering what you're going to have for dinner tonight? Are you aware of your body? Are you aware, just in this moment as I say it, that you weren't aware of anything? Okay, fine. Here's awareness again. Just this moment. That is like such a relief. When we talk about steady, persevering awareness through the day, mindful all day, if we're not trying to make something special happen, all we're doing is like relaxing into mindful awareness of what's already happening by itself. It would be happening anyway, whether you're mindful or not. It's like a huge relief. It's not this exhausting thing. You got to brush your teeth. You might as well be present while you're doing it. It doesn't take a huge, we'll talk more about that later. So it's how the steady awareness, as the mind gets more stable, it comes to be, I would say joy. It's not always joy. Sometimes it's just calmness. Sometimes it's like the sense of relief. Oh, all this stuff's going on, but awareness can just know it. I don't have to get all involved in it. I still feel it, but it doesn't have to be me. I don't have to own it. Just awareness receiving. It's such a relief. So in terms then of samadhi, this collectedness of mind, and it doesn't only mean concentration, but certainly there's samatha practice and practices that are completely dedicated to cultivating a one-pointed, real steadiness of mind that can go very deep, that are very profound. And that certainly can be very valuable. That's not what this practice is. We can't do all of it at once. I don't know how you all are. And I think, in general, over the last 25 years, the people who come to meditation retreats, you're all a lot more, you know a lot more. You have a lot more information. You're a lot more, I can't think of the word, senior moment, sophisticated in terms of your understanding of things. In the past, concentration and the idea of really focus, the steady laser mind, that was kind of, people would kind of unconsciously give that the primary place. That's how you could tell if you were doing well. If you had concentration, everything was fine. Never mind if the concentration was totally driven by craving and you felt like your head was going to bust open, but you were concentrated. So you were getting somewhere and you could feel good about yourself. And as soon as you went home, that all goes to hell because that's impossible. The conditions aren't there to support it, but I'm not making fun of concentration itself. It's really really that kind of very helpful. It's not the only way of collectedness of mind. Collectedness of mind is really meaning that when things arise, the mind isn't just thrown off track. It doesn't just, you know, get carried away by stuff. It doesn't wobble. It doesn't shake. So in really focused, when I'm going to use concentration to mean that, but that doesn't have to, but in that really focused way, there's been a lot of conditions supporting a real steadiness. It's almost like a tube, and the mind can get incredibly stable to where it doesn't shake with things. In fact, when you're really, really focused, sometimes other sense impressions don't even quite make it in to awareness. But one of the things that makes that stability so pleasant is that when there is a certain level of concentration, the hindrances are in abeyance. The hindrances, like, they can't get in. You know, wanting, aversion, sleepiness, restlessness, doubt, the unwholesome states, they can't get in. If the concentration's wise concentration, if it's all focused from wanting, you could be really concentrated and totally focused on trying to sneak into a house and not make any noise and steal something, okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about wise concentration, path concentration, come from wholesomeness. So the mind free of the hindrances is, as we would call it, a moment of pure heart, of pure mind. It's really lovely. Even if we don't recognize intellectually what's going on, the experience of a heart and mind of consciousness that isn't just being ratcheted around by wanting or aversion or me stories or whatever, it's just, it's lovely. This is the direction of the Buddha's teaching. You know, he describes often the Nibbana as the heart mind that is free from kalesa, the heart mind without greed, hatred, delusion. We could even experience that in a moment. That's one of the definitions, descriptions he gives frequently. So in all our practice, in this one too, the steady awareness coming into stability of mind, the wisdom that arises, feeds the wholesome and starves the unwholesome. That's Buddha's language. When we really see how craving isn't really doing it for us, in that moment, the mind doesn't keep craving. That's the starving it. It's not being fed. Cause and effect. You don't have to do it all yourself. So the mind that's free, even momentarily, from these, it's really, it might be peaceful, it might be happy, then there's space for the wholesome qualities of metta, friendliness, or compassion, or equanimity, or interest, investigation, or calm, or, you know, all different wholesome qualities, just mindfulness. But it's kind of, for me, it's like a feeling, you know, because I'm kind of a kinesthetic type, it might be described different for others, that time of freedom from the hindrances is like, it really is peace. And then, of course, because it's the habit of our mind, wanting comes up, and we get attached to that. And then we're motivated not by wisdom, but by wanting. This is just going to happen over and over. Steady awareness can see that, can see how that works. So the really depth-focused concentration, part of its loveliness is that at that time, it's a kind of purity of mind. You can actually, before I first did really deep practice, you don't even know that that's a possibility. I mean, you don't even have to understand what's happening, but we don't realize how uncomfortable and distorting these kalesas are going on all the time. I mean, it's like, there's a reason that life feels so difficult sometimes, and we're bumping into each other's kalesas, and it's just every, you know. So a moment free is like, oh, even if you don't know what it is, you go, I didn't know that was possible. And then since all we know at that point is wanting comes in. So this quality of stability of mind, not the focus that needs really special conditions, but the kind of moment-to-moment relaxed awareness we're learning to recognize and cultivate here. It takes cultivation, just the remembering of it. ultimately right view also helps to develop stability of mind, even if it's not really focused. But there's a steadiness of awareness and right view, right attitude. Very simple example, just to see how I mean. So you're aware, maybe you're in a sitting, and whether you're at home or you're in a retreat, you're in a sitting, and some really loud, obnoxious noise starts happening. Somebody's running a buzzsaw 2 feet away from your ear. If you've ever practiced in Asia, this is like a daily occurrence. Get used to it. But it's great practice. It's the best practice. But it's in here. So when the thought, it's just getting calm, and now this is happening, and don't they know we're meditating? And if you're at home, it might be worse. I told my family, I told them what I'm doing, and now the kids are running and screaming. Have they no respect? Don't they know? I don't have to go into the story, right? We all know it. We think, well, that's what's happening. And good meditation needs that to go away. Or even if it's here, I'm having to deal with it, and it got in the way, and now I don't have good meditation anymore, even though I can deal with the sound. But it shouldn't be happening. Again, even if you're not really over the moon crazy nuts about that, there's this dissonance, you know, this instability about that. Right view, just very simple. Ah, sounds arising. I've been saying it, but it could be like this internally. You're sitting there, really quiet. Maybe it's with breath. Maybe it doesn't matter, but just quiet and aware. And suddenly the sound starts. It's really unpleasant. Your body starts kind of, you know, shaking in response. And awareness is going, oh, yeah. You may be naming it or not. Oh, yeah, unpleasant sound. Body is shaking. It's like this now. And the mind is not rattled. The mind does not wobble. Because in that aspect of awareness with right view, whatever arises is a fine entry into awareness. It doesn't mean in our life anybody can do anything and we can't tell the difference. You know, don't take it to that extent. But we're talking about it here in practice, where we have the opportunity to explore how the mind works. So to see through the steady awareness receiving through the day, all the little actions, nothing special going on, but over the day, over a couple of days, over more time, as the remembering of to be mindful comes sooner and easier. You may notice times the mindfulness comes back by itself, you know. And that gets more and more steady. Then the stability with right view, you know, just whatever's occurring, then you can start to notice this kind of stability of mind that is samadhi. And I will say it's in my experience, I don't know everyone's experience, it feels different from the kind of samadhi that's really very focused and that takes into jhana. That has a real protected feeling, and it needs to be supported by conditions. And it sometimes has a real, sometimes it feels tight or it feels dense or something. This kind of stability of mind, unshakability from mindfulness and right view, is just that nothing is disturbing, even unpleasant, even aversion. It's just all happening. The mind notices it and balances out again pretty quickly. You can feel that as you go through the days. You can kind of start to recognize it. Just for truth in advertising, I did notice when I was first practicing in this style, and I've talked to others like Steve Armstrong and others, who he has like amazing focus concentration, which also takes a lot of energy, I might say. That's why Virya is one of the faculties. So when I was practicing the first couple times in Burma with Sayadaw Tejaniya, he won't let you sit down and really get quiet and really focus and walk really slow and sit really slow and not talk to anybody. It's set up so if you're walking really slow, he'll come up to you and go, how come you're walking so slow? Speed up. Relax. People are talking. You can't avoid people talking. You also can't avoid all the reactivity that comes up in your own mind. And that's the point. You can't avoid that. But it takes longer, is my point, to start to recognize this different quality of stability of mind, of samadhi, of unshakableness. Because it's like, it's not about being steady on one object. It's not that everything's precise. You do start to notice more things because the mind's relaxed, not so aversion and greed are coming up, but there are objects that are noticed pretty quickly. So it took longer. It took maybe a week, 10 days, I want to say, before I actually noticed that and trusted it. Because the trust is huge. Because coming from other forms of practice, there's all kinds of signs of samadhi. There's all kinds of experiences, all kinds of things I could compare it to give me a sense that I'm doing okay, which my personality always wanted. As soon as I thought I was doing okay with some sign of samadhi, then everything would relax. And lo and behold, the practice would become much more balanced and deep. Why? Not because of the samadhi, but because the mind relaxed and quit trying to make something happen. But it didn't trust just the arising and passing, just this gentle awareness we're doing. It wanted some sign, and it only knew how to get that sign from a kind of a forcing one-pointedness. This is only me. I'm not saying maybe no one else has had that experience, but it took longer to trust, to recognize, oh, this steadiness, the stability of mind. And stuff can happen that's difficult, and it happens in the difficulty and you're aware, and then the mind is, it's stable again. This translates into our life. This is why I really want to offer these retreats when we're at home. And I'm saying this hopefully not to get us into wanting or comparing. I mean, that can happen, but I'm not saying you should strive for what I'm talking about. I'm just mentioning it as something you might occasionally recognize. And also, in case, as it often comes up, people feel this real kind of struggle. But what about concentration? I've worked so hard, and here we're just throwing it out the window. So I want you to know we're not. The five faculties do arise. They're coming together in wise attention, culminating in wisdom. They might manifest differently because the conditions are different. All of these wholesome mental factors can show up in lots of different ways. They're much more flexible and trustworthy than we might think. Yes, so I just wanted to say that about the five faculties, and particularly about samadhi, about stability of mind, and the sense of patience, perseverance. This style of practice really does require that. As Dane said earlier, you know, at first it's like, we need some support. We need some sense of what are we doing and what's going on, because there's no immediate results, maybe, you know. But it's really, it's found it the most, I've been practicing for many, many years before I started this style of practice. It's not that I was never awake and there was no wisdom in my daily life. Please don't think that. But this sense of just relaxed, noticing what's going on in the mind, because that's that part of awareness of mental activity kind of gets stronger as we go on through this style of practice. I mean, now we're noticing anything, of course, physical, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, mental states, thoughts, whatever arises. But really, the freedom and the suffering is arising in the heart-mind. The kalesas, the freedom from the kalesas, the wholesome factors. And so just as we're practicing the steady awareness, more and more and more, what's arising in the mind just comes to be naturally noticed. Again, I've spent 30 years noticing that. It's not new. But there's some way this relaxed, not trying to make anything happen way carried over into my daily life so quickly after just, you know, sitting a couple of times there. I would just find I'd be going through the day, I'd go to a meeting. Now, the amount of meetings that we have at these meditation centers, I'm sure Tim can relate. It's unbelievable. All these meetings, and on retreats too. teacher meetings, board meetings, this meeting, that meeting, training meetings. I can't. So anyway, and sometimes the meetings would be at night when you were teaching all day. And when I am tired in the evening, when this mind body is tired, this mind gets really cranky. I kind of knew that. When this mind is cranky and I'm sitting at a meeting with all these people saying all this really stupid stuff and I just want to go to bed, sometimes, like I said before, the mind is on vacation and the mouth is working overtime. And what comes out isn't always lovely or to the point. Except, okay, you said that already, let's end the meeting, kind of thing. Luckily, they were friends, so they were. Anyway, that's just a simple example. Doing this practice, I wouldn't be thinking about it. I mean, I always knew I did that. I'd go into a meeting thinking, okay, I got to really, you know, not do that. But going into something saying, I'm not going to have this mental thing happen, that's not awareness. That's trying to manipulate and control the situation, but that's not coming from the wisdom, the natural wisdom mind that sees how it's happening. So when I'm used to practicing in this way, I go into the meeting and awareness was just noticing the mind. It noticed the tiredness in the body, the unpleasant aspect of it, the aversion that would arise in my mind from just being in touch with the unpleasant aspect and just being with the aversion. It was like really interesting. Because when that awareness was there, much less likely that I would say anything unskillful. And I was much more able to just be with the aversion and the unpleasantness. Not because, and I've been trying to do that for years, but without the wisdom, without the steady awareness that just showed me what was going on. This just happens quite naturally from the steadiness of practice. So that's just a tiny example, but I just thought I would share that. Hopefully to convince you to keep going. That's my main job, just convince you all to keep going. So, okay, I think that's just what I wanted to say now.